ESPN 92.3, the Valley sports leader. It wasn't the final that anybody really expected yesterday between Pittsburgh and Oakland, and to talk about that is Neil Coulong, the editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Neil, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing okay. However, Steeler Nation is licking its wounds today, Neil.
Yeah, they seem a little frustrated, a little peeved, as you might be able to guess. It probably overall wasn't the greatest game top to bottom with the Steelers, but I've watched again a couple times now, and there are a lot of positive things to take away from it. And I would start off by saying I think the main difference in this game, despite what everyone, the knee-jerk reaction that everybody wants to have, is the lack of pass rush, is poor coverage. In reality, I think it was more of a schematic issue in that they tipped their hands to a lot of blitzes fairly early in the snap count. Carson Palmer picked up on that pretty early in the game. He had extended snap counts. He had a lot of hard counts put in there to try to get the Steelers to reveal that. And when they did, what I was impressed with was the fact that Palmer was very quickly ready to diagnose what they were doing and what he needed to do. He threw out of blitzes a lot. They weren't able to get a pass rush largely because he got rid of the ball very quickly. I mean, I even timed it a couple times. He got the snap, had the ball out of his hand in less than 3 seconds. You're really not going to get much of a pass rush, and that also is very tough to defend. At the same time, though, it does take a lot for a quarterback to, as they say, move down the field the hard way, which is completing a litany of 8- and 9-yard passes, which is what he did, at least in the second half. They had him pretty good in the first half, but all it takes in those situations is one bad throw or one missed assignment, and against a defense like the Steelers, everything can blow up right away. And unfortunately for Pittsburgh, that's not the case. Palmer did a very good job, led Oakland on 5 consecutive scoring drives to take the win, and they had to get 2 turnovers to be able to do that after theirs on the first play of the game. So people probably aren't going to want to hear this, but to an extent, you really do have to tip your hat to them. Oakland prepared very well. That's a tough place to play, and 1-2 isn't a bad record right now in a wide-open AFC, especially when you have 4 starters out. So for Pittsburgh, it's really just kind of move into the bye and get prepared as best you can, get some guys healthy, and get ready to get after Philadelphia.
And I was sort of looking at it from the opposite point that you were. The Steeler offense, when you look at the numbers, passing plays to running plays, and I understand Mendenhall's out, Dwyer still isn't up to 100%, not even close to that. So obviously Roethlisberger had to step up, and he did, but the Oakland defense knew that was what was going to happen as well.
Yeah, I think they got to Roethlisberger right at the end, and the last pass that he attempted in the game, he stepped up in the pocket, and he had Mike Wallace on what looked to be a deep slant or a deep post. If Roethlisberger was able to deliver a crisp pass on that, Wallace probably would have gone for another 10 yards on top of it, and they would have been in long Sean Sweezum field goal range. Unfortunately, the Raiders made a great play. I mean, the offensive line did not surrender a whole lot of pressure. That was one play that they did on a 3rd-and-long situation. They got a hold of Roethlisberger's feet just as he was, trying to look to plant the throw, and the ball sailed on him, and he missed Wallace, over his head by a couple yards. It was really that close, though, and that Roethlisberger played out of his mind. I'm not sure if we've seen him play better top to bottom in a game. 36 of 49 that included a spiked pass in there, and that one at the end. That's a pretty sensational game for any quarterback, especially when you have 384 yards and 4 touchdowns to go along with it. Roethlisberger is without question keeping this team in the game. Unfortunately, awards like the MVP are probably not going to be given to the teams that finish a game below 500. But after 3 games, I don't think there's a player in the NFL right now that's more valuable to his team than Ben Roethlisberger is. He's playing very, very well. He's working well within that offense, both the no-huddle variation of it as well as the set calls that they have. And he's definitely going to be a weapon for them down the stretch if they can keep him healthy. And frankly, pass blocking hasn't been their issue. It's really been their inability to get the ball going on the ground. And that's something I think is going to come with more time, with more reps. And like you had mentioned, Dwyer was not healthy. He only had, 9 snaps in this game. Baron Batch and Isaac Redman took the carry on it. And with all due respect to them, none of them are as talented as Rashard Mendenhall is. Mm-hmm. So if Mendenhall is back after the break, I really think you're going to see an improvement in the running game. And you're looking at a team that's really kind of building itself for a second half run. I wouldn't be too worried about 1-2. I mean, you look at the AFC, there's really only one dominant team right now. That's the Houston Texans. Unfortunately, that's not a team the Steelers have to play in the regular season. Baltimore, in my opinion, is beatable. I think the Patriots certainly are beatable. It's still wide open, and I think this team's going to be playing its best football after Week 9.
You mentioned, too, as far as protection for Roethlisberger, I know we've the last couple of weeks talked about the problems on the Steelers' offensive line. Of course, DeCastro, you know, the rookie that came in, you know, for the Steelers, I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Neil, but he's on the list with the new way they have the IR list set up that he could come back, if healthy, sometime later on this season. You know, but got to give him a little bit of love because they, other than that last play you talked about, they did a pretty good job in protecting Roethlisberger.
Yeah, they only gave up one sack. It was a five-yard loss somewhere toward, I think, in the second quarter. I might be wrong on that. They do very well pass protecting, and they have for the most part. A little bit of breakdown in the Denver game early, and certainly at the end of it. But since then, they've done a very good job, and certainly they can't claim, you know, there's a whole lot of a problem if they're throwing the ball 49 times and Roethlisberger's only getting sacked once. He didn't have a whole lot of pressure. He threw from a clean pocket very often. A big part of this, too, is kind of the same reason the Steelers' defense isn't generating sacks, that Roethlisberger really is, you know, top to bottom, getting rid of the ball a lot quicker than he was before. There are set deep plays in there, and there are plays that he goes off schedule the way that, you know, Roethlisberger plays the game. But he's much more definitive, he's much more precise, and he's throwing bullets. I mean, I don't know if I've seen him throw with this kind of velocity since, like, his first season, so... I think he's definitely playing healthy. He's definitely playing with a great frame of mind. And the offensive line is protecting him for what he needs to do. Run blocking, as kind of weird as this sounds, run blocking is really the more offensive piece of what an offensive line does. That's when they're going after the rusher. They're going after the defensive lineman, the linebacker. The pass rusher is oftentimes dictating what the offensive lineman is doing, so they're much more defensive in a pass-blocking set. Usually when they're run-blocking, that's what they enjoy doing. They get to go out and just bludgeon the guy across from them and you know, try to exert their will upon him. And right now that's just not happening, and there are a couple different reasons for that. They really didn't try to run the ball particularly well or particularly often in this game, and they didn't run it very well again, so... I think a lot of this really is just the timing, getting the chemistry down. Willie Colon has not played guard, as far as I know, in quite a while. Along with that, you prepared to have David DeCastro at right guard. That didn't work, and Ramon Foster's back in there. And Marcus Gilbert is still a very young player. Max Starks has not had a whole lot of live reps since he came back from his injury. So there are a lot of fundamental things, I think, as a group that they're going to work out the more that they go. And the way that I see it, in all honesty, they had every reason, every opportunity to win that game yesterday, and I think they competed well against Denver, all things considered. They're 1-2, and they haven't played their best game yet. The running offense can only improve from where it is right now, and this is going to be a much better team when the weather gets cold. I think people are going to look back on this as just kind of a down point in the year come Week 9, 10, 11. When they will get DeCastro back, he is expected to return at some point this season. Obviously, that depends on, you know, his rehab and everything like that. So, top to bottom, I think we're looking at a pretty good team. It's not going to be one that, you know, people are going to put at top of their power rankings right now, but it's going to be a competitive team for the season.
Neil Coulong, the editor for BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, with us here on ESPN 92.3, the Valley Sports Leader. We talked about the injuries and how that certainly seems a target to have Mendenhall, Harrison, Polamalu back after the bye week when they take on the Philadelphia Eagles. What about the two guys that were injured in the game, Hood and Gilbert? Any word on their status yet?
It didn't look like Hood's was particularly significant. He kind of walked off under his own power. He was probably swearing at the guy that cut block him.
You think
the Raiders like to do? I'm surprised Kiesel didn't get after him too. I mean, watching the game again, Kiesel got taken down probably four or five times. I find this funny, to be honest. A league that wants to promote health and safety as much as they do, to the point of fining players tens of thousands of dollars for instantaneous reactions to the body motion of an offensive player. They're perfectly fine with allowing cut blocking, which to me seems at least just as dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
The frequency of it, the lack of protection that the linemen have, I understand what the rule is, and I understand that it is a part of football, and teams doing it, you know, it can't really be called cheap or dirty because it is within the rules, but it just looks really dangerous to me. I know back in the day, it was not something you ever wanted to see an opponent doing to you, so they got put on that quite a bit, and, you know, Hood just got rolled over a little bit. I'm sure it was pretty painful. I mean, you saw Roethlisberger get hit pretty low on a play early in the second half as well. It's probably something like that. I mean, it hurts pretty bad, but if it's not torn, they're usually able to you know, brace it up and get back out there and play. Gilbert struggled with the groin the same way that he had in the Week 2 game. He was held out of practice in the earlier part of the week last week because of it as well. He didn't look 100%. Kelvin Beachum spent some time over there, but overall, Gilbert played just about all the plays. It's definitely a good time for a bye week for him. Get some rest on that, try to you know, hopefully use it lightly and you know, keep it flexible as much as he can, because they really can't take another offensive lineman being out. I mean, it's you know, whether it's Mike Adams or Kelvin Beachum, being in there is not going to be the same thing as Marcus Gilbert being in there. It's not looking great along the line now as it is, and you know, they need all the continuity help that they can get.
Week off for the Steelers. Of course, you can follow them all season long right here on ESPN 92.3, the Valley Sports Leader. How's Ogie?
Oh, he's good. He's good. He's laying here at my feet right now.
He's just doing what he does?
Yeah. I think he's tired. Went for a little run earlier.
What, all the way out to the kitchen and back?
He made it up the stairs, down the stairs, and ran after some squirrels outside. He was having fun.
Ah, aerobic workout. Very nice. All right, Neil Kulaw, he is the editor for BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, a great place for all the Steeler information that you need and you want. It's right there on the web, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Neil, thank you so much. We'll talk again Monday.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.